your take on ESPN Radio, ESPN News, ESPN App, Sirius XM, Channel 80. We'll start you with some headlines that you need to know. Fear not, you're going to get some UFC, even if it looks like it might happen in a non-traditional way. Dana White has been telling us that he's going to continue UFC fights. Everybody's been trying to figure out the how, the why, the when. What's it going to look like? Well, it looks like they've secured a private island. You can't make this up. UFC President Dana White, so committed to resuming operations in the midst of this pandemic, he has secured a private island to host events. White told ESPN Monday that he's got a location in the U.S. to hold UFC 248 on April 18th. So that'll be a headline by an interim fight between Tony Ferguson and somebody whose name I won't even try to pronounce. And it will consist of 12 fights overall. He said the location will host weekly fights for at least the next 2 months. You want your sports? Just go buy an island. That's the moment that we just learned there. Cam Newton feels like he's living on an island right now. He's a free agent for the first time. He was released by the Carolina Panthers in late March. Talked about his situation in an interview on Monday and said, quote, "It's so much possibility right now for me, but the fact that this corona situation is hit, I'm not a person to blame or do any of the things. Man, it's business, but at the same time, I think I've been affected in a lot of ways, and it's just unfortunate. At the end of the day, man, I'm going to go let it play and go from there." He said he feels like he's in uncharted waters and feels like a fish out of water. And lastly, a little NFL news. We've all heard that the draft is going to continue, but it will continue in a virtual way. Well, Baltimore Ravens coach John Harbaugh is worried that sensitive team information is more vulnerable to getting stolen because of technology, now that everyone's going to have to rely on connecting using technology at a time when teams are prepping to go viral from playbooks to meetings. Harbaugh has immediately texted the Ravens IT members, and at this point he's worried about Zoom or other online resources getting hacked. So IT departments for every single NFL team are going to be working in high hours. It's First Take, your take on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, Sirius XM, Channel 80, and ESPN News, presented by Progressive Insurance. I'm Jason Fitz. We're going to ask you a draft-related question. I just told you the draft's going to happen virtually. What's that mean? Well, that means that your favorite team's not going to be in one, air quotes, war room, all right? Your GM and your head coach and your scouts and your owner, you're used to being able to watch the broadcast, see them all in one room with a whole bank of phones around them, and they can talk about it, and they can figure it out. Well, that will not be the experience. The NFL has released a memo to teams instructing everybody that team facilities will stay shut down, and as a result, you're going to have everybody be in their own homes. You'll be looking at things we're all doing now, like Zoom conferences, teleconferences, conference calls. So in the light of this, where it feels a little bit like, I don't know, a fantasy football experience, I'm asking you, if you could bring one fantasy football experience that you've had into the NFL draft, what would it be? 888, say ESPN, 888-729-3776, 888-729-3776. You can also tweet me at Jason Fitz. Heck, I'm bringing trash talking. I want some opportunity where I can watch John Gruden and Andy Reid trash talk each other while the draft is going on. I mean, getting somebody else's live reaction to a Chiefs pick would be incredible. I want you to tell me, you can bring one moment to the end from your fantasy experience to the NFL draft. What would it be? 888, say ESPN, 888-729-3776. But we're going to start today with some Straight Talk. Straight Talk Wireless has the full court cell phone coverage you need. Get the unlimited plan with 25 gigs of high-speed data, then 2G. It's just $45 a month. Saves you up to half the cost of big carriers. Everything for less. Savings may vary. See terms and conditions at straighttalk.com. The NFL draft is not the only sport that's looking at interesting plans and ways to come back. Major League Baseball has a plan at this point on how they can begin to start games right in as soon as May. Jeff Passan broke it down on SportsCenter with SVP. This is Passan on the plan for Major League Baseball.
Let's just lay out the plan first, right? Major League Baseball would be isolating in Arizona. They would be playing games every day at spring training facilities at Chase Field. You might have two or three games a day there. All of the logistics of creating this biodome have to happen in order for it to happen. So there are so many hurdles that they have to leap through, whether it is ensuring the safety and health of the players, ensuring the viability of this dome so that they don't go outside of it and potentially infect other people, playing the games, getting ready for the games. Do you keep the bus drivers at the hotels? You know, all these questions that need to be answered. But what they've got, Scott, is the backing of federal health officials. Major League Baseball and now the Major League Baseball Players Association have been in touch with officials from the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, as well as the National Institute of Health. And what they have come to terms with is that the likeliest way that baseball is going to be back in 2020 is if they follow this plan. Now, it's a difficult plan to follow, but I think it's one that as time goes on, they've come to terms with the idea that they are going to have to.
First Take, Your Take. That's the plan for Major League Baseball from Jeff Passan on SportsCenter with SVP. So the question is, what do Max and Stephen A. think of the plan? They broke it down today on First Take.
I love the idea of trying to do it. I'm surprised that it's baseball because there are so many participants in a baseball game. When you think about the number of people that would have to be quarantined, it's at least 1,000 people, 25 per team, 30 teams, you're up to 750 plus support staff, so that over 1,000 people. So it's ambitious. Much harder to do that than, say, what Dana White's trying to do with the UFC or a boxing promoter could do with boxing or a golf tournament maybe. But nevertheless, I think it's a good idea for baseball to be thinking aggressively about it. What strikes me, though, is there's a, in Jeff Passan's article, there was a little blurb about, you know, why rigorous testing. Well, the tests just aren't available. And if they're talking about May in 3 weeks or 4 weeks, there's going to be tens of millions more tests so that people who truly need them, so we can locate and isolate the virus, aren't getting them, so people in baseball can get them. But presuming that tests do become more readily available, much more readily available, then I love the idea of baseball trying this. Baseball has been with us through national crises, through the Second World War. You know why Derek Jeter, one of his nicknames was Mr. November? Because he hit the first ever home run in November in an official major league game in the playoffs because there was a disruption as a result of 9/11, but baseball got right back to it. So the idea of sports as distraction, I like very much. The plan from baseball makes sense. And it's great that because it's an inferior consumer product to football or basketball, it has receded and been marginalized in the American popular consciousness. But this would help it take center stage again. I love that. I'm a huge baseball fan. That said, in order for this to happen, it seems to me testing needs to become much more readily available.
It has receded and been marginalized in the American consciousness, especially third place to the NFL and the National Basketball Association. I get that. And I applaud the MLB for making this concerted effort to do what it's doing. What I don't like is them restricting themselves to Arizona. I don't like that at all. I think that you should have, I'm not saying every city, of course, but you should have a few cities that are doing the same thing so you can sort of spread it out a little bit and compete in that fashion. And I think that there's a way to pull that off, and I think that's something that they should explore rather than everybody being huddled and congested in the state of Arizona. I don't like that at all. That's about the only thing I really don't like about this. The one other thing that I will say is this. Max, I don't know about you. Molly, I don't know about you. Have you been in your house and not left your house at all over the last several weeks? Both of you. Yes or no?
You mean I've left over my the house. Course of 24 hours or since then?
Yes. No, I'm saying over the course of 24 hours, over the course of the last several weeks, have you left your house?
Yes.
I would venture to say yes.
Oh, yeah.
I have too. This notion that we need to be huddled in some closed confines, in some bubble, and we can't go out without engaging in social distancing, I think is ridiculous. You don't cluster with one another. You don't sit up there and touch other people. The people that you've been communicating with in terms of your family, because you don't want them separated from their families for months, because I think that's asking for entirely too much. But the notion that, excuse me, I could be with my wife and kids, and you know what? You could be down the block, and oh my Lord, we're all going to huddle with one another because we can't resist being around one another. It's utterly ridiculous. I think people need to get their bearings under them, get their senses together, and understand social distancing is working, but you can still exercise that while going outside to catch a breath of fresh air, while still being around the same family members that you have been around. You could actually have some family members in a respective city with you and just be amongst each other and don't go around other people. You can actually do that. And I definitely think that that's something that needs to be entertained.
ESPN Radio presented by Progressive Insurance. Quoting home insurance just got easier with Progressive's Home Quote Explorer. Quoting by all online at progressive.com. Maybe I'm cynical. Maybe I'm cautious. But, you know, I'll admit, I split my time in life between Connecticut and Tennessee. And I've spent a lot of time, obviously, in Nashville. Many of my friends are in Nashville. And the general concept of don't be around people has been incredibly difficult for smart people that I know to figure out a way to do. And there's a spot of trust that you're asking everybody around you to be as cautious and as careful as you're being. It's a very difficult situation. And as much as I appreciate that Major League Baseball is trying to find a way to come back, let's also acknowledge what I said yesterday. WrestleMania is something I watched over the weekend, and I watched some old throwback WrestleManias first, seeing the crowd and the energy and the noise, and then watching a silent WrestleMania event. To me, it was haunting. To me, it was only more of a reminder of how strange the world is right now. At the very least, I hope if that Major League Baseball does this, a couple of things, that they keep safety first for players. For players. They're just because they're players and we like watching them doesn't mean they're not human beings. And they have families. So let's keep the players safe first and foremost. That's the most important thing. The second thing is let's acknowledge the fact that ambient noise is something we're all used to. If we're going to watch a baseball game in Arizona, in the middle of silence, where players are perhaps sitting in the stands so that they don't interact in dugouts, if you're going to give me that, at least give me something that charges the performance. That's why I say performance, the event, I should say. That's why I believe that if the NBA came back, they would have a distinct advantage here because, as I think it was Mark Spears suggested with this before, they could put, for example, a DJ in every arena and at least give us something that makes us feel like we're watching something more than just a scrimmage or a strange practice or a haunting reminder of how different the world has become. First Take, your take on ESPN Radio and ESPN News. I'm Jason Fitz. We're presented by Progressive Insurance. You guys are joining us on the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line. The question is, what tradition would you want to bring from your fantasy football draft into the NFL draft now that we know that the NFL draft is going to be so virtual? We'll take some of your take in just a minute. But speaking of the NFL, Tom Brady has spoken, or at least he's spoken through written word. And we're used to the Players Tribune being a great way for players to come out and tell their side of the story. Tom Brady did that. He went to Players Tribune and wrote what he's trying to accomplish, what he wants to find now, and made it clear that he has certain goals of being able to do things that no one's ever been able to do, but also being able to challenge himself in new situations. Coming off of Tom Brady's latest comments, Stephen A., Max, and Ryan Clark debated whether or not their opinion has changed on the entire situation.
The man did not feel as appreciated as he should have been by Bill Belichick. Bill Belichick, as Robert Kraft personally told me, if Bill Belichick and the New England Patriots, if Tom Brady had wanted to stay with the New England Patriots, they would have worked it out. Now, Mr. Kraft didn't reach out and call me and just me. And when he called me during the show that time, I had called him. Ultimately, he called me back. But there's several reporters that he spoke to that he regurgitated the same comments to. So it's not like it was breaking news there. But he did say that if Tom Brady wanted to stay, we would have worked it out. The problem is Tom Brady didn't want to stay, which leads us to ask, why didn't he not want to stay? He had no issue with Robert Kraft. He certainly had no issue with his teammates, particularly if you gave him the requisite weapons to work with. The issue at hand was Bill Belichick doing things his way and not taking into account what Tom Brady thought or how he felt. Not literally, of course. Of course, I don't believe for one second that Bill Belichick never listened to Tom Brady or anything like that. But during the course of years, obviously, as he aged and you're trying to move in a different direction, you know, you sort of lose faith in the athletic prowess or the capabilities of a guy that won you 6 Super Bowl championships. Tom Brady recognizes that and knew that it was time to move on. I wouldn't say this is an indictment against Bill Belichick or whatever, but clearly Tom Brady felt like Bill Belichick wanted to move on. Bill Belichick certainly wasn't willing to beg him to stay. He didn't give a damn. If you're going to leave, go ahead and leave. It's no big deal to me. And Tom Brady doesn't view himself as just some ordinary player because he's not an ordinary player. In terms of accomplishments, he's the GOAT. And Bill Belichick is known for not treating anybody that way. Any player that played for Bill Belichick could tell you that. So in light of that reality, that's really what Tom Brady is saying here, that he wants to prove that he still had a lot more left in him than Bill Belichick was willing to give him credit for. And I think that's what you can deduce from what he wrote.
On the surface, it looks like Tom Brady is saying, I want to go play for someone who still believes in me. I still have something. The Patriots didn't believe that I did, and this team does. The Bucks do. But I think if you dig a little deeper, what Tom Brady's really saying, and I don't even know if he realizes this is what it is. He's saying he doesn't believe in the Patriots' way anymore, or he doesn't want to sign up for it because it came for him. It was okay with him. I mean, look, maybe it wasn't personally okay with him at times watching teammates go or not being paid or not being treated, you know, right or whatever. The bottom line is Belichick always made decisions in the best interest of the Patriots, winning the next game, winning the Super Bowl that year, and along with Tom Brady, made it to 9-1-6. Tom Brady's talking about he wants to be listened to more. Does he think he has a better way than that? He thinks he stumbled across a better way than going to have, you know, in 50% of your seasons, you make it to the Super Bowl, and in 2/3 of those seasons, you win the Super Bowl. He's figured something out better than the Patriot way. Is he saying that he is the Patriot way? Because it doesn't appear to me that that's the case. A.J. Liebling, the great boxing writer, once wrote in The Sweet Science, it's a famous book once upon a time about boxing, wrote that boxing is chess played on human bodies. But I never felt that way. Because if one person has an athletic advantage, they can press it, etc. Football is chess played on human bodies. And the players are the coaches. And in Belichick's case, the coach and the GM, he was the chess master. Brady did not want to sign up for the Patriots' way when it came for him. And that's why he left.
You know, I don't necessarily know if it's not about signing up for the Patriots way. It's about as players, we grow. I remember things that I would accept as a rookie or as a second year player or on my first contract that I wouldn't accept when I got up in years, when I had played in the league a decade, and I was never on Tom Brady's level. But you do understand that you earn a certain level of respect. There is wisdom that comes along with that experience that you would like to share, that you would like to have conversations with your coach. And I'm not here to believe that Bill Belichick never took into account the things that Tom Brady had to say or the things that Tom Brady wanted and needed. But in the end, Bill Belichick was making the final decisions. And also, when we grow, we want new challenges. Tom Brady always knew that it was always going to be the tag team, right? That they were going to be the Road Warriors. They were going to be Animal and Hawk because they were Bill Belichick and Tom Brady. I think right now he wants to be the WWE champion himself, like Gronkowski is. He wants to hold that belt alone. And so if he goes to Tampa Bay and he accepts this new challenge, and if we believe that he is being embraced and that they want to listen to him and that they believe in him, when Tom Brady goes to Tampa Bay, if they change, if they become a Super Bowl contender, a Super Bowl champion, it's going to be about Tom Brady. Bill Belichick is not going to be mentioned in that situation or scenario positively. And I think he wanted to embrace that new challenge. He knew there was no changing Bill Belichick. When you've been in a relationship with somebody for 2 decades, that's who they are. They are not changing. They are set in their ways. The roles are firmly defined. Now Tom Brady gets his opportunity to show the world that he can play until he's 45, and he can play until he's 45 his way, without Bill Belichick, without the Patriots way, with Tom Brady leading the charge. And I think that's what he wants to do, and that's what I read into his words from the Players Tribune.
Let's first take your take on ESPN Radio and ESPN News. I'm Jason Fitch. We're getting your take. If you could bring one fantasy football experience into the NFL draft this year, given that it's going to be virtual and they're going to be doing it just like you've done so many of your fantasy football drafts, what would it be? 888, say ESPN, 888-729-3776. You can also tweet me at Jason Fitz. Wildcat says, ice cold beers. I'm in for that until my team drafts poorly, and then I'm going to be very mad about it. Kevin says, I want to bring a 2-minute timer to every pick. Time's up. Auto draft picks your player. Could you imagine if the clock stopped and auto drafters just like, here you go. Unfortunately for some of us, I think AutoDraft might do a better job. Ryan in Texas, what's your take on one fantasy football experience you'd bring to the NFL draft?
Well, with everybody, one of the things that we have is if you pick somebody that has already been picked, you have to do a keg stand. And with the internet maybe an issue at people's houses or hotels, and it's buffering, if Jerry Jones picks somebody that's already been drafted, he or Steven got to do a kickstand.
No, look, I see what I love about this is that, Ryan, thanks for your take on it. What I love about it is, A, it sounds impossible until you hear Ryan explain it, and he's right. I mean, SVB pointed out on SportsCenter late last night, early this morning, you know, what happens? Every fantasy football draft he's ever done has had a delay. What do you do when, you know, suddenly the Jags are like, sorry, there's a thunderstorm. We can't get our pick in. You know, the thought of Jerry or Steven trying to do a keg stand, but they're social distanced, so they'll have to do it alone, is in and of itself all of the entertainment I could ever ask for in my entire life. Okay, we're going to keep breaking it down. I want to keep getting your thoughts on what you would bring from your fantasy football experience into the NFL draft. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. You can also tweet me at Jason Fitz. Speaking of the virtual NFL draft, there are some real scenarios that create complications that I think are going to make this much more complicated than we think and could actually impact your favorite team. We'll tell you about them next. Take your take on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, Sirius XM Channel 80, and ESPN News. I'm Jason Fitz. We're presented by Progressive Insurance. Brought to you by My Computer Career, training for a better life. Here's what I'm asking you. If you could bring one fantasy football experience into the NFL draft, what would it be? Why am I asking you that? By the way, you can chime in. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. You can also tweet me, at Jason Fitz. Getting some great ideas out there. I'm asking you that because there's been a huge shift to the NFL draft this year. We all know that. We knew it wasn't going to take place in Vegas. The question is, what would it look like? And now we know the answer. It's going to be taking place in a way where people are not allowed into the team facilities. What's that mean? Instead of a war room, you're basically going to have a virtual war room for every team. They're going to have to find ways, whether it's through Zoom, like so many of us are doing for work now, or whether through other conference apps or conference calling, they're going to have to find new ways to communicate. That has a little bit of fun to it, has a little bit of a draft experience to it that many of us have lived, but it also creates some complications. Before I get to the complications, some great tweets that have come in on what people want to see come in. I particularly like this one. Gunna Sweet Lou You says, my fantasy league used to vote at the end of each round for the worst pick. That owner GM would have to do a shot. We do this for the first 12 rounds. Imagine Jerry Jones slamming Johnny Walker Blue. I love how many people keep implying that Jerry Jones is going to be the one having to take all of the shots. But I do love the concept of awarding a best and worst in every round. I know they'll never do this. Look, we're just having a little fun. Having a little fun at the thought of what could be. I also think there's a huge mic'd up opportunity to get more reaction. Again, in a dream world where we're talking about Major League Baseball and when it comes back, are they going to mic up players? Just the opportunity to see what somebody actually feels like. You guys know I'm a Raiders fan, and The Athletic did a mock draft where Vic Tafer went through, one of the writers there, went through and did the entire process. He wrote about what it was like in the fifth round to have a guy that he knew he wanted to take that was taken just a few picks before him. I want to see that actual reaction from a GM when you have been snaked and suddenly you don't get the guy that you thought you were going to get, not in the first round, but in the fifth, sixth, seventh round. I think that's an incredible opportunity. Before we get to some of the complications, Jim in Connecticut, give me your thought on something from fantasy football that should be brought into the NFL draft.
I tell you what, I'd love to see. I'm a huge Chiefs fan, and I'd love to see an empty war room and then just select auto draft right off the bat.
Oh, Jim, that is spectacular. Look, there's a lot of us. I remind everybody, when you count on draft equity being the thing that's going to turn your team around, remember, most of the time bad teams became bad teams because they draft poorly. So any presumption that they're going to suddenly hit the nail on the head and nail an entire draft is a little difficult for a team that hasn't done it. Now, sometimes trends change and you can get a little bit of season of hope. And that's what the draft represents. I've talked about this a lot because I've had the opportunity to cover the draft for the last 3 years digitally. I'm proud of the show that I've been able to host with Mina Kimes and Michael Luke Jr. and Field Yates and a slew of others that has been available to you digitally for the last few years on the draft. And I'm proud of it because the draft is arguably my favorite sporting event of the year. I don't even know if it's arguably. I'll say it is. Why? Because it's the time when suddenly, especially if you're a fan of a team that's been bad, it's the time when you feel like you have hope. The draft represents hope to everybody. And that's why instead of the Super Bowl where there are two teams competing, when you get to the draft, everybody that day, all 32 fan bases are going to feel either a win or a loss. And that win isn't going to be a small one. That win is going to be the type of win that suddenly makes you a playoff contender or a better team, a Super Bowl contender. It takes you up to another level. The loss isn't just a little loss. It's heartbreak. It's realizing that you're about to head into another season of despair. Now, we're not always right, obviously. in our analysis in the moment, our reaction in the moment. How often do you hate your team's first round pick only to a few years ago forget that information, you know, conveniently so that you can turn around and tell the world that you love the draft? Right. And how often have we been bored by seeing offensive linemen draft? Because most of us can't break down offensive linemen. Right. So we're suddenly looking at it and saying, I don't know. People say he's good. You know, we want some sort of flash and splash in the draft and that opportunity to have the rush, even for a few days where you feel like no matter what, your team just got better is what feeds us in the draft. And that's why this draft is going to be particularly entertaining, but particularly difficult. Look, the opportunity to see your GM, your coach, in what feels like real life, in their home studio, whatever that looks like, in their home office, whatever that looks like, breaking down players, figuring out who they're going to draft. The opportunity to get that behind-the-scenes look that hopefully the NFL will capitalize on is something we all want. We crave behind-the-scenes footage, whether it's for music, movies, or sports. We want to see what we don't usually get to see. The peek behind the curtain is incredible. But think about the actual logistics here. The logistics of the NFL draft are staggering in and of themselves. Why is there usually a war room? Well, you got 20 people in a room. You got a coach, a GM, an owner, but you also have scouts, you have offensive coordinators, defensive coordinators, you have coaches that are in the room that all have strong opinions on who should be drafted, and you also have a bank of phones. That bank of phones is important because let's say you're about to be on the clock. Let's say my beloved Raiders are about to be on the clock. What do you expect from that phone? You hope that you're going to get one call, two calls, three calls, 10 calls? You're negotiating the entire time. The reason the draft timing is what it is because they want to give everybody not the chance just to make the pick, but the chance to also explore whatever business opportunities there are in front of them. That means the opportunity to make trades. I ask you, how do we expect teams to efficiently do that when they're all in separate locations? Do we think that they're going to be on a Zoom chat together and then it's just going to be as simple as Mike Mayock's phone rings? I don't think it is that simple because if his phone rings for one team, what happens when another team chimes in? What happens when he wants to talk to Mark Davis and John Gruden about where he's headed? What happens when he wants to have conversations with the coach and the owner about what the thought process is or different offers that are being made? See, these are all things that can happen at once. You can have different people on the phones. You can have people on hold. And suddenly when you're in one room, the ease of communication becomes there for you. It's right there. It's not right there for you when you're suddenly having to figure out not only how to connect, but also how to communicate. Mike Golic Jr. and I, for the last couple of weeks, have been doing a daily show that goes out on a live stream. We did one last night. We're now going to weekly. We'll be every Monday night before the Monday Night Football game. We do that show together from two remote locations, and we do it on the internet like everybody's doing right now. The number of times that we have to come in and work and wait for the internet connection to get stable, for everything to come together in a way that the show can actually be broadcast, for there to be no lack of communication, for there to be no issues. SVP said it today, and he said it jokingly on SportsCenter, but he's right. Every NFL draft he's ever been a part of, there's one thing he can note from his fantasy experience. In fantasy drafts, they've always been slowed down because somebody has an internet issue. What happens if Jacksonville suddenly has a thunderstorm and the internet goes out? Do they then resort to phones? And if they're resorting to phones, how are they communicating? Look, the important part about this is we all want the escapism. We need the escapism and we crave the escapism. And as I've reminded everybody repeatedly, the NFL draft is at its core a series of business transactions. Business transactions can take place in today's world. It doesn't require anything other than business. It doesn't require anything other than simply making a pick. And making a pick is at times very easy to do. It's all of the other pieces that aren't easy to do. And this is what makes the draft so important to us. Because we haven't had normalcy, we're going to watch it. Don't make no mistake, the reason the NFL draft is going on is because Roger Goodell has figured out that we will have the most captive audience probably ever for an NFL draft. Because it is a sporting event. It feels like a sporting event. It feels like there are winners and losers every single day, every single pick, every single draft. There are winners and losers. It gets graded immediately, not just at the end of it, but the end of each day, at the end of each round, at the end of each segment. Why? Because we feel that sense of win and loss. And that sense of win and loss is why we're going to be captivated by it. However, there is a major loss in all of this for all of us. The NFL right now has the resources. In a world where we're talking about Dana White procuring a private island for UFC fights, that's real. I would challenge the NFL. Find a way to build a portal that you know is going to last. Find a way to build something secure so that nobody has conspiracy theories about their Zoom channels being hacked and other teams getting information. Find a way to maximize communication. But through all of it, if I'm a team, now I'm going into the most important event of the year, and I'm doing it in uncharted territory. I'm communicating in a way I've never been asked to communicate before. And that is a difficulty when the draft already means so much, not just for this year, but for the next 4 to 5 years for every organization. They're now swimming blind. They're now communicating possibly blind. And it's going to create difficulty with trades, which means not just in the first round, but the fifth, sixth, the seventh round, the end of the draft, when teams are suddenly trying to maneuver here and there to get exactly the guy they want, that maneuvering is going to be so difficult, it may limit teams. And the last thing we want out of the draft is something that's a foundational bookmark for your team for the next 5 years to be limited. It's a great moment for us to have it, but it's a great challenge for the NFL to get it right. And we're going to find out quickly which one of our favorite teams have front offices and scouts that are ready, have front offices and scouts that have thought of every single possible solution, and have groups of people that can do their job no matter what the chaos is around them. That's what I'm excited for. I'm also excited to get more of your thoughts on if you could bring one fantasy football experience into the NFL draft. What would it be? Tell me anything you've got from your fantasy football experience. You can tweet me at Jason Fitch. You can also call 888-SAY-ESPN 888-729-3776. First Take, Your Take. Coming up next, we're going to get more of your take on fantastic ideas to bring from the from your draft experience, but also college football without fans. Notre Dame's athletic director doesn't think so. Hear what First Take had to say next. First Take, Your Take on ESPN Radio. It's First Take, Your Take on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, Sirius XM Channel 80, and of course ESPN News, presented by Progressive Insurance. I'm Jason Fitz. If you could bring one fantasy football experience that you've had, one of your fantasy football experiences, into the NFL draft, what would it be? Remember, the NFL draft is going to look a lot like your fantasy football. They're going to be sitting on a teleconference. They're going to be talking to each other. I wish we could see the trash talking. But if you could bring any one element, what would it be? 888-SAY-ESPN 888-729-3776 or tweet me at Jason Fitz. You can chime in with your take. If you missed the first hour of the show, go check it out. It's on demand in the First Take, Your Take podcast, brought to you by Capital One. Why settle for average? With Capital One, you can open a savings account with a rate 5 times the national average. Welcome to Banking Reimagined. What's in your wallet? Capital One, N.A., member FDIC. We'll get more of your take in just a minute. But college football is in the news yet again, as there's a question about whether or not college football could be played without fans in the stands. And Notre Dame athletic director Jack Swarbrick says that you can't play more than a couple of games without the fans. Do the guys agree with that? I don't know. Ryan Clark, Stephen A., and Max chimed in on Notre Dame's comments.
On the collegiate level, if you're talking about the Big Five conferences, sure. Outside of them, what you going to do with everybody else? Because they ain't on TV. And so as a result, how are the fans going to be able to see them play? You know, when you are at Alabama, LSU, Ohio State, Clemson, and places like that, yeah, you're going to be nationally televised. And as a result, we'll have an opportunity to see you play. But if you're so one of the schools from the smaller conferences, no one will ever see you play. So to me, it doesn't make any sense. When we talk about fans not being present, we're making the assumption with the National Football League, Major League Baseball, the NBA, and various other professional sports, you're going to see what you want to see, just not in person. You're going to see it on television, and the vast majority is watching it on television anyway, so you can get over that. It's not ideal, but you can accept it. On a collegiate level, we're talking about outside of the big-time schools that get national television exposure or even local television exposure. No one is going to see these folks at all. And obviously, you know, the gate receipts and what have you go a long way towards financing and subsidizing some of the smaller colleges that don't have that television exposure. So if that's not available to you, I just don't see how you can have it. I agree with the athletic director there. I agree with Swarbrick. I just don't see how it can happen.
Well, there's much more. First of all, let me say, unlike some of your points, which are just utter nonsense, Stephen A., you make a very good point here. So congratulations. That's excellent.
We all know
Look,
you're lying about
we
that.
We have to strip everything down. We have to strip everything down right now and get ahead of things, right? We have to ask, what is actually essential Now, I appreciate the point. In college sports, fans are even more essential than in pro sports. Why? I'm going to table what you just said. I'll deal with that in a second. Really, because we're watching minor leagues. It's just the minor leagues. You notice how minor league baseball is not on national TV, right? Because football and basketball package the fans back to themselves. The school spirit is like fully half of the experience. So I do appreciate the importance, the greater even significance of fans and school spirit, especially when broadcasting and packaging and selling back essentially minor league football and basketball. Here we're talking football to the fans. Now to your point, Stephen A., there will be much more demand, even for smaller schools. Like, there's demand for content on television, sports content especially right now, because we're all starved for it. So I don't think that will actually be an issue. But even in terms of the fans, yes, it's a more significant part of the puzzle with college sports. Yes, you would far prefer it. It would seem weird without it. But is it really a deal breaker?
First, take your take on ESPN News. And look, part of the reason that this has to happen, whether everyone thinks it will or not, part of the reason it has to happen for schools in their mind is just money. And I'll go back to the tax returns from 2018, because these are schools, they have to file the money. Per school distributions for the year from the college football TV revenue in the Big Ten, $54 million per school just in TV revenue. The SEC, $43.7 million in revenue to everybody except for Mississippi that year because of a postseason ban. The Big 12, $34.7 million. The Pac-12 and ACC, $29.5 million. That's per school just in TV revenue for these games. Why do they need to happen with nobody in the stands? Because last time I checked, I don't think Ohio State's really keen on losing $54 million of revenue that they need just from the TV partners. That doesn't, obviously, the attendance is another big part of this, but $54 million is not a small amount of money for them to deal with. First take, your take. Ivor in Washington, what's your idea of a fantasy football draft experience you bring to the NFL?
Hey, how you doing, man? I really think that everything should happen before the draft itself, even if you got to bump it back a week or two. Let everything happen, the trades, player trades, draft pick trades happen before the draft. And on the day of the draft, everybody just sit back and watch it unfold.
Oh, see, that's an interesting idea, Ivor. Thanks for the call. You know, basically saying, hey, let's go in and pre-record it and then take as much time as we need and then give us a perfectly packaged recorded version of it. I don't know if conspiracy theorists around the world, though, would relax enough to think that it was actually going down the way it should or if it was all fixed. But it's an interesting concept. I kind of love the chaos alive. I just wonder what's going to happen the first time somebody doesn't get their pick in exactly in time. But it's not because of them. They'll claim it's because of the internet, the weather, the phone lines, whatever it might possibly be. We're in for it. I want more of your take on what to bring. Plus, the Major League Baseball has an idea to return and QB continued for the Vikings. All coming up. First take, your take on ESPN Radio and ESPN News.